You're with SBS Radio. Find more great stories in your language at sbs.com.au.
Now, as promised, our studio guest is here, Richard Simcott. He was born in the UK with English as his first languages, but he quickly learned French at a young age, learned Thai, and he speaks 16 languages and more. He's fluent in 16 languages at least. And he is the founder of Polyglot Conference, and he's visiting Australia. So we took the opportunity to invite him to talk to us about Polyglot and Indigenous languages. Welcome to NITV Radio, Richard.
Well, thank you very much for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
Yeah. Now tell us about Polyglot, the conference that you founded.
Okay, so the conference was born out of a language learning community. And there were a number of people that identified with the term polyglot. Now, polyglot is a strange word in English. It actually refers to people who speak many languages. But I think it's come to mean something a little bit more, and that it's people who learn languages that they don't necessarily need to learn for their daily lives. So there are people that are multilingual all around the world and speak many languages, but we're talking about people who go out of their way to learn other languages.
Yeah, you learn another language. So 16 languages are quite a feat, because most of us can only master one or two, and struggling with the second one most of the time. But one very interesting thing you've come across and you've been working on is a project that is being run in Australia about reviving Indigenous languages. And we know that we are now in the International Year of Indigenous Languages, and you've come Indeed. Across this project. Tell us about your interaction with this project.
Yes, so I was really pleased when I heard that the United Nations decided to declare this year, 2019, the Year of Indigenous Languages. And in fact, I embraced that as the main theme of the Polyglot Conference, which I organise annually. This year, we're going to Fukuoka, Japan, and it's going to be between the 18th and the 20th of October there in Fukuoka. But ahead of that, I had the opportunity to come here to Melbourne. And of course, Indigenous languages is a very big and important theme that runs throughout this part of the world, particularly Australia. And I have a very good friend, Gilad Zuckerman, who came to speak at our conference in Thessaloniki a few years ago. And he talked about his work in reviving sleeping beauties or dreaming beauties, if you prefer that term, to fit in with the Aboriginal culture of the dream. You know, that sort of that whole idea is actually quite rich and means a lot here in Australia. And he came, I invited him to come to Melbourne to talk about his work in doing that. He's been working most recently with Barnegala people close to Adelaide, and he's helped to reawaken that language and brought out a book to help create a structure for the language and then teach it back to the people, so that they can re-explore their heritage.
Yeah, for someone who speaks 16 languages, and you said polyglot is about speaking languages that you may not necessarily need in your daily life, because I look at the context of some countries where I come from, in East Africa, we speak four or five languages. Some of them are used in the context of just trading, because trading with the neighboring countries, and the traders come from all over the place, and they speak different languages. So you've got languages that you use in the marketplace, and languages that you use at home, and the languages that you use in the administration. And this brings us to the Indigenous languages, reviving them. These are languages that haven't been spoken for sometimes for a generation or two. What's your take on reviving them?
I think it's a matter for each community to decide whether or not they want to revive them. And I think that Gilad would actually agree with that, that it comes the initiative to do something like that. It's a big project that requires a lot of people to get together and agree how they're going to do it and agree on a way forward. There has to be a planning involved to do such a thing. Now, if there is the will of the community to bring back a language, like I was saying, the latest project for Gilad, I think the language had not been spoken for about 50 years. So when he approached them, he said, you know, we've been really waiting for so long for someone to come to us and say, let's revive this language, let's bring it back, let's breathe life into this sleeping beauty. And I think if you've got the will of the people, the will of the community, it can work. And why not? You know, in the British Isles, we have languages like that that have also been brought back either from extinction or the brink of extinction. In the same way, the Manx language, for example, never died.
Yeah.
It was reported to have died, but it never died, and there were still fluent speakers when the last native speaker passed away.
Yeah.
And now we have a very vibrant Manx medium school on the Isle of Man. And these kinds of initiatives and these things are important not just to understand the culture, the traditions, the stories, and everything that we lose when our language goes away, because the language is the vehicle on which much of our culture and our heritage rides. And so I think it's extremely important that we do our best to preserve them. There's absolutely no reason why not in communities can speak their community language, a national language, and then maybe another language on top of that.
Yeah.
Speaking three or four languages for many people in many countries in the world is completely normal. You know this very well with your example from East Africa. There are countries in Europe, indeed, like Luxembourg, where speaking Luxembourgish, German, French, and then English, and then maybe other foreign languages on top of that yeah. is the norm.
Yeah,
and maybe a home language plus.
Yeah, because language is not just the words we use, and you just mentioned it, it's also about, and when we come to the indigenous context, it's also a connection to country, connection to culture, mm. connection to history. Words are loaded with meaning.
Yeah, words are definitely loaded with meaning. And I think that, you know, it's important to know, for example, Gilad was talking just about how in English we talk about a language of, you know, the heart, and the heart being the thing that we talk about when we talk about language. But actually in Aboriginal languages of Australia, it's actually the stomach that tends to be the focus for that kind of thing. And that was something I didn't know, so it was a new learning experience for me to understand that. So, you know, when he looks back at the languages spoken, the ones that are alive and kicking, as he says, even with a population of 3,000 speaking the language, he says, as long as our children learn the language will continue. That's how we keep a language alive. That's how we keep it alive and kicking, even with a small number of speakers. Because if we can just pass it on, there are other advantages also for speaking these languages, not just the cultural, not just the linguistic, not just the keeping the heritage, keeping the stories alive, not just the having the identity, not the badge that you wear of who I am, I'm proud to be of this heritage, but also there are other benefits. It can help with your mental health. So it's been shown to help keep Alzheimer's or dementia at bay. The offset of that for several years. It's also something that helps you think in a different way. So you have a different way of looking at different things, including mathematics or other subjects. So yeah. your brain just has this elasticity of just being able to speak more than one language.
Yeah, but there's something that is not often spoken about is some languages died or went to sleep, as it is beautifully put in indigenous context. Some of these languages went to sleep or died because of political factors, like indigenous people weren't allowed to speak their language. I look at developing countries where learning French, English, or the languages of the former colonial masters is taking over the learning of their own traditional languages. And this is something that sometimes is done willingly, but sometimes forced onto the communities.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. So, I mean, there are some real tragedies of history where, you know, people that came before us made decisions that had a huge impact on the cultures of new countries that they were exploring, new countries that they were taking over in some contexts. And of course, now with English as a language that's spoken in so many places, I mean, it's very difficult to argue the case that it's not useful to learn English. Of course it is.
Yeah.
But there's no reason why not, we can't learn another language in addition to that, and at least have a nod and keep alive to the societies that preceded us. Why not? People still learn Latin.
Latin, gays in East Africa, they still learn the old Greek that's not spoken anymore, but because it's in biblical and the old Bibles that are kept in monasteries and all that, and people still learn those languages to keep actually the knowledge of those ancient cultures alive and passed on to the next generation.
You're right, people in ancient Greek, ancient Hebrew, people in Sanskrit, people in all of these languages. So why not indigenous languages? Why not these other languages? Just because then they've not got the fame worldwide doesn't mean they're no less important. They are as important. And in fact, to the people that speak them and come from those cultures and traditions, they're even more important and more relevant.
Yeah. Now, as we go, before we go to a break, a parting word of wisdom for someone who speaks 16 languages. Just a parting word for our listeners.
So I see languages as something that you can unite people, things that bring people together. If you have time, reach out to your community, see how you can help. You might be able to help in preserving languages. Learn a few words like hello, thank you, even things like that help just to show an appreciation, an understanding and an acknowledgement that these people exist and that they are of value to our society and they enrich our society with their diversity.
Tell us what you think. Like us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter.